Blog Talk Radio.
Ain't no stopping us now. vocabulary to others. You don't need to have a philosophical bent to grasp. There are three little words. We want to let the world know that these words describe what we mean and what we are determined to do about racial injustice. One is the word all. We don't want some of our rights. We don't want a few token handouts here and there. We want all of our rights. There are some people who say that we need to go back to Africa. And there are some others who tell Negroes in the South, leave the South. You can't be free, so get out. But down in Alabama and Mississippi and Georgia, South Carolina, we are saying something else. We want all of our We want all of our rights here in Alabama and Mississippi and South Carolina. Then there's a third word. It is the word now. We're not willing to wait 100 years for our rights. We're not willing to wait 50 years for what is ours on the basis of the Constitution of this United States and the authority of God. No, we are not willing to wait another 25 years for our rights. We can hear voices telling us to slow up. We can hear voices telling us to cool off. Our only answer in confrontation turn must be that we have cooled off too long, and if we keep cooling off, we'll end up in a deep freeze. We must go on and say, what we are saying to this nation is that we want all of our rights. We want them here, and we want all of them not next year, not next week, but we want them now, at this hour. This is what we're saying.
What your life can truly be. Shining star for you to see. What your life can truly be.
Once again, it's Friday night, and it's the Black Business Billionaires Network Club. And here we are once again talking about economic opportunity, development, self-marketing, public relations, developing business. And it's all about developing oneself. There's a purpose. There's a purpose for business. When you talk about the Black Business Billionaires Network Club, we are here on this radio program, and we're outside of the studio. We're in business. We're in the 50 states. We're even in other countries. And we're developing our community, because one thing about it, people, that you got to understand, African Americans are in a very awkward position in America. You're not a citizen. You're not an immigrant. You haven't been indoctrinated. You haven't been citizenized. You haven't got a green card, a residency, naturalization. You haven't been going through a political preliminary process, but you are here. You've built, like, you know, sister said, we built this bitch, you know, and that's a part of it. That's a part of the confusion. That's a part of the problem with the society in America, is that they're not giving heed to those who built this country. And so you find yourself in a very awkward situation. And a lot of people find it necessary to pack up and leave and go to Africa or the Caribbean or wherever they go. I don't see the necessity in leaving, because you built a big, tremendous economic mega powerhouse. You built a tremendous opportunity here to walk away after 400 years of conditioning and suffering and ancestors. And you know, there's a foundation that's been built here. And, you know, to leave all of this and to go to Africa or the Caribbean or wherever you feel there's other black folk like you, where you're demarginalized. You go to Africa, it's a whole nother economy. You're starting like brand new. You're not going over there. You're not building multi-million-dollar homes. You're not branding yourself. You're not living in your own economy. You're not developing an economic situation for yourself. you're going there to hide, and there's a subservient characteristics that you have to pick up in Africa. It's almost like a second-class citizen type of behavior because you're not allowed to say certain things. You can't do this. You can't do that. One woman walked across the street wrong from England, and the soldier decided to beat her side of her head, and that was fine with everybody. That's a part of the culture and the conditioning. And I asked if she was white, would she have got beaten up? And they said no, and everybody laughed like it was a joke. It's not. We're self-deteriorating in terms of the conditions that we've been put under. We're not developing self-identity, self-preservation, self-determination, independence, sovereignty, a diplomatic status. We're not developing these things that we need in which to go for. Because wherever you live, whatever country you're in, you have to identify who you are and what you are and where you stand in the presence of that country. And so here we are in North America, and there's not a definition of who we are, what we are, and what we're doing here. We don't even understand the conditioning of the society that we come from. We come here as slaves. We come here as animals, dehumanized. There was no participation, and all men are created equal. We found these truths to be evident, that all men created equal. They wasn't thinking you as a man or a woman or a human being. So how in the hell do you think you're a part of that structure? Everything America built was for white men and white women and white children, secondary. White woman and white children, secondary. The first priority was the white male. The second priority was landowners, which just means rich white men. The third priority was to control the economy and use the poor whites against the poor blacks, and that's why they came up with black and white. Who in the hell is white? Who in the hell is black? What are those things? They're psychosocialization to control you. You don't know that. You don't know that. You walk around think it's cool. Yo, my nigga, black man, white man, it's all a game. It's all a setup to destroy you psychosociologically, physiologically, mentally. Your body's deteriorating. Your mind's deteriorating. They're killing you. Your children are shooting each other, drugs and alcoholism. Everything that comes with poverty is nothing good. Even in the Bible, the biblical days, nobody stood in poverty forever. They stepped up and stepped out. There's nothing good in poverty. The impoverished mentality is destructive. You look at people who have an impoverished hood rat mentality, street hood rat impoverished mentality. They suffer, they die under all kinds of drugs and alcoholism and gang banging and shooting and killing. That's a part of the programming to set you up to self-destruct. But they don't have to do nothing. They don't have to spare. They can spare their guns and their war equipment and their military and their police and everything else. But it's a combination of things that kill you. Look at the society. Look at the project. Look at the ghetto. Look at the thugism. Look at the streetism. Look at the gangism. Hood. Thugs. Look at the terminology, what people call themselves. Subhuman conditioning. And you're falling right into it. You're ideologically falling right into a deep hole. That if you don't get smart, you won't dig yourself out of it. So here we are in North America, the richest country because of the African American slave. And we got to call it like it is. And you can't let people come. I don't care how black. They can be black as night. You can't let people come from other countries and tell you what to do and how to do it and how to get it done because they don't know. There's nobody coming from Africa, the Caribbean, or any other country that can come to America and tell me nothing. Why? Because you didn't succeed where you were at. You have no measurement of success. You have no understanding of success, because if you did, you would have did it in the Caribbean. You would have did it in Africa, Brazil, Asia, or Europe, wherever you come from. If you was successful there, you can come in America and tell me how to be successful. If you come into America begging for a soda and a sandwich and shelter, how in the hell are you going to tell me how to struggle? How are you going to tell me how to be a revolutionary when you're coming here begging? That's a bad concept. And you let them people come and tell you what to do? That's the problem with African-American people. They let others come from other places telling them what they need to do. But how can they tell you what to do? If you go to somebody's house and their house is not clean, they can't pay their rent, and the children ain't fed, you going to let them come and tell you how to run your household? Come on, common sense things, people. It just doesn't work. It's common sense. Nothing against nobody, but that's the bottom line, baby. You ain't got nothing going on. People come here thinking that they can destroy, to kill and steal and rob and cheat the African-American community so they can get rich. They come here with the white man racist, systemic racist behavior. He indoctrinate them. He take their immigrant behind and put them in a room and tell them everything bad about African Americans, but you never hear black immigrants say anything bad about white people. They come here kissing white people's ass. They don't say nothing bad about them because they come in here looking for something from them, and they see the African Americans as the step stool to get to success, not understanding we built this bitch. We are the structure. If you don't know it, you better ask somebody. You better look at your history. Another thing they will not do, black immigrants, they won't go study. They won't go find out the truth of America. They won't learn the true structure, economic, social, political, the history. They know nothing. They don't want to know. They want to know what the white man tells them. They follow his instructions because they feel he is going to feed them, clothe them, house them, educate them, job them, and get them what they want. Now, whether people like this or not, we got to get this shit in order. We got to put this thing back to perspective. I am the African American. I'm the Native American. I am the Indian. Black as I am the Indian. Cherokee, Mohawk, Blackfoot, we are here. We've been here for a long time, y'all. So don't get it twisted. Don't get it wrong. One thing we have to do, we have to get history correct. We have to get history correct. We got to tell it like a TI is. You cannot survive in these conditions with falsehood. If you don't know where you're going, where you're coming from, that's why some people make it and some people don't. That's why some black folk got money and some don't, because you don't know what you're doing. You got it twisted. You're going backwards, not forward. Because a white man got your head turned all around and you won't learn. Learn to earn. You won't open up your eyes to the truth. And every once in a while, some nigga got to come up and tell it like it is, because you ain't getting nowhere with the lie. You can crawl on this white man's behind if you want to and take every crumb off his table that he can give you, but you'll never be a self-sufficient, independent woman or man, black woman or black man, Indian woman or Indian man, or immigrant or whatever you think you are. You'll never be successful under the white man. He have no intent. Did you see what Lincoln said when he so-called emancipated, proclamated the slaves? He said, there's no way. He sent no, people don't know nothing. He sent the free slaves to Haiti. He sent them back to the Trinidad and the Jamaica and all the damn and Liberia and different places. He said, because there's no way. He even thought about giving them Texas, the free slaves. Because he said, no way for a black man to be equal to, humanistically equal to, a white man. No way for us to live together in an equal society. That's what Lincoln said. He your hero because he freed the black people. He ain't freeing shit. He was freeing the Union, the 13 colonies. He was saving the white man. He didn't give a damn about your black ass. He would have kept you in slavery if he could. It's just that the condition wasn't working out for them because God don't love ugly. And he didn't let the enslavement survive. Why some people got money and some people don't? Because some people open their eyes and wake up and smell the coffee. I smelled it 73 goddamn years ago. And ain't nobody can tell me jack shit. I'm just telling like it is. Why you can't tell me nothing? I'm not mad, but I'll tell you the truth. I'm not mad. I'm not going crazy. I'm not angry at no damn body, but I can tell you the facts. Why? Because I lived it. Jim Crow laws is just the extension of slavery. I know what this cracker set up. I know how he schemes and he lies and he cheats and he steals. He, like the Bible said, the devil come to steal, destroy, and murder and kill. The Bible said that's the devil. And any man wants to kill another man just because he's different than you, you are a damn devil. And when you enslave a man and you abuse a man and a woman and a child and you don't have the common sense to turn around and do that which is right, you are evil. America's evil. They have no intentions of saying sorry for slavery. They have no intentions of returning that which belonged to the Native Americans, the land, keep them on reservations and beat their asses and keep them down. That's the American story. And that's the conclusion of what's going to happen. Now either y'all can wake up and live and understand, or y'all can keep being blind. But ain't nobody coming to America. I don't give a damn where you come from. I don't give what island you come from, the Caribbean, Africa. You not coming here and telling me nothing because you didn't come here with no level of success, no understanding, no political, social, economic background. You don't have a backbone because you come into this country looking for a soda, a sandwich, and a goddamn shelter. You're asking the white man for his help, and whatever he tells you to do, you're going to do that. Just so you can get that soda, that sandwich, that shelter, a little education, a little job, a little house, a little car, the so-called American dream, which is a goddamn nightmare for African Americans. So don't come here telling me you know something. You better than me. You ain't better than me. Because if you were better than me, you would have stayed in the Caribbean, you would have stayed in Africa, and you would have built there before you came here. You didn't come here on no standard of living. You didn't come here on no kind of justification. You didn't come here to support and help the slaves, those who were economically deprived. You came here for your selfishness, for yourself, your family, your needs. And then you're going to come here and tell me you know something that I don't know. You think you better than me. Hell no. You ain't going to never be better than me. You don't have the comp. You don't have the stats, the background, to be better than me. Never could do it. I'm talking about me, Ronnie L. Robinson. Don't challenge me, baby, because I went through this hell. Went to college at 15, got my PhD at 21, made my first million at 18. Go. Come in there and compare. Come compare to me. Try to put your influence over me. There's no comparison. The hell that I've been through. And yes, people say, oh, you shouldn't talk. Yeah, I'm going to talk about it. I'm going to talk about it. Why? Because we need to talk about it because it's history. It's facts. And it's bullshit when people try to cover it up and make it look like something different. The most humanizing experience anybody could go through was American chattel slavery. That was the worst fucking thing anybody can go through. And if people come over here think that they know something, that they tough, you ain't tough. Because the shit that I've been through under the 1950 Jim Crow laws, ain't nobody from the Caribbean or Africa would have survived that. You ain't that tough. People come here acting like they so tough. They wouldn't take that what African Americans take. They wouldn't take that. But you come here looking for something. If you that tough, you would have stayed and built where you were at. If you that bad, you that smart, you that intelligent, you that rich, you would have stayed where you at. All the rich, successful Caribbean people are still in the Caribbean. All the rich, successful Africans are still in Africa. Go figure it out. Go figure it out. And I ain't saying nothing wrong, and I ain't saying nothing against nobody. I'm saying the facts. The truth will set you free per Jesus, God, Allah, Buddha, Yahweh, the Bible, the scriptures, whatever God you represent, whatever religion you belong to, all of the religions say the truth will set you free. Stop living a lie. America's one big goddamn lie. And don't you come over here buying into the lie. I ain't going to allow you to do that to yourself. I'm going to tell you just like it is. And don't play me. Play the radio. Because I know when you come here, and I know you're sneaky. I know you're cheating. I know you're lying. I know you're doing what you have to do to get what you want. I know what's going on. It ain't no secret to me. Good. Come on. I got nothing against you coming. I ain't got nothing against. Come on. Come many do. Because there's a lot of behind beatings that these crackers got for everybody, enough for all of us. So come on, pick some of this behind beating. Sometimes it's better to have sisters and brothers than be the only child, because you get all the beatings. When you got 9, 10, 15 brothers and sisters, they got to beat all of them to go through all of them. Sometimes they don't even get to the last 2 or 3 or 4 child. So come on, let's get this behind whipping, if that's what you're looking for. I mean, let's call a spade a spade. Let's tell like a TI. It's too much bullshit in America. Too much undercover. Too much lying in America. Everybody lying. The immigrants lying. The white man, white Americans are lying. The Europeans are lying. The African Americans are lying. Native Americans are lying. Every damn body lying. Because why are you lying? Because you don't know the truth. You don't know the history. You ain't been taught nothing. You got no self-sufficient, independent historical facts. You go with what that white man tell you. And so the lie turns into cheating, and cheating turns into killing, and killing turns into self-destruction and genocide. Stop the lying. Tell it like it is. Stand up and be a man. Stand up and be a woman. The Bible said give the devil a black eye and tell the damn truth. And it's facts. And whether people like it or not, I don't care. If you don't like what I said, I do not care, because it's the facts. It's the what is what it is, and what it's going to be is just what it is. I ain't sugarcoating it. I ain't turning it upside down. I ain't turning it back, and I ain't going to say it no differently. A lie is a lie is a lie. Lie leads to killing, cheating, and stealing, and robbing, and it's nothing good come out of it. So stop it. Tell the truth. Too much lying in America. Too much lying. You know, been lying from the time they landed on Plymouth Rock, the time they came on the Mayflower and slavery, chattel slavery ships. They've been lying. And we lied to ourselves. After we got a little master gave us a little freedom, then we start to lying. And then those who've been here before us in the reservation, they start to lying. One lie gets to the next lie, now you ain't got no damn truth. You don't know which way you're going. You're running around like a chick with the head cut off. You don't know what you're doing. But I'll get you straight. I'll get you straight, because I know the lie. I know it from the spiritual, what God has given me the vision to understand it. And I know what it is from academics. I know what they taught me, what they told me. And I know what I've seen. And I know what I really read. And there's historical facts. There's historical facts. George Washington Carver put it in the Negro Journal. There's a book called The Negro Journal. Go to Amazon. Go Google The Negro Journal. All of the news reports when black African American people invented 50,000 inventions, it's been reported in the newspapers from the time that they started in the 1600s. So it's right there and right in front of your eyes. So you can't tell me that you've been despised and lied to and mislead and misled and told things. You're not looking for the truth, ma'am, sir. You're not looking for the truth. You love the lie. The lie gets you a couple of dollars, makes you feel like you're somebody, and make you think you're going above somebody else. But that's not happening. It's not happening. It's not happening. Tell the truth, people. Live the life that God wants you to live. To be the man, the woman, the child, the boy, the girl, the parent, the child, the children. Be that which God wants you to be. Live the truth and see how your life will change. Well, once again, it's Friday night and here we are. We tell a little truth here, but we do have with us Miss Carol Smith. We y'all know, aka the Enigma. Y'all know as the Enigma. She always comes on. She has resources and information, and she tells the good news. You know, she tells a little different than me. And so let's give her a nice hand and bring her on.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Glad that you're telling the truth. I know that I've been speaking to sisters on jobs, and you know me, I walk around and talk to everybody and anybody. And I was in Staples today, and I met a young man named Pitchin, but he's not available. And as he said, he don't know too much about hip-hop, but he was giving honors to hip-hop by wearing the hat, and the young lady said hip-hop is, you know, powerful and just, you know, certain things. And he said, what makes it powerful? You know, and I said, well, let me stand back because I'm a vet and I really don't go through all of this madness because the bottom line is ain't nobody eating and they can't eat hip-hop. I remember when they were stealing electricity from lampposts and when Carter came to the Bronx and saw it looked like a war zone. He said it was worse than Vietnam. I said, I don't understand that because at least in Vietnam, I had a jungle bunny that helped feed me. I didn't have that in New York, less alone America. I come from the reservation from upstate New York, which is the KKK capital of these five boroughs. And you notice your immigrants cannot go upstate. You understand? Mm. Because it belongs to the KKK. When y'all go to Albany and y'all have them little gatherings for Democrats and Republicans, you know, and I first seen it, I thought I was on a plantation because everybody was selling their goods, you know, and trying to make their money. And the busload of ladies got off the bus. Dressed fine to the nine. I mean, yo, I was amazed. And a young brother who's a political brother, and they tried to, you know, use him to their advantage and, you know, step on him and say that he was taking money and stuff. But that's what happens. And when you sell out your own, because they definitely were selling out hip-hop, they didn't give a damn about hip-hop. They thought hip-hop was definitely ruining the kids and the whole nine yards when your kids was already ruined. What happened is they found an excuse to break up the family. Now you got free weed. And I remember when Reagan was, his wife was against weed, and Reagan was running around to different countries talking about blacks, once again, was holding the country back. Well, I'm a Native American black. I went and got my papers to prove that. And it took a white man to take my Blackfoot father to come to the hospital to verify that I was his child. And he was Italian. So I'm not thinking about y'all. If y'all don't want to make it, don't. You're drinking raggedy water. Why do I say that? How long the project's been up? When you ever known them to change pipes and re-update the services in your projects? Unless you own your own home, that's not happening. And the only reason why whites are getting upset is because the sewer pipes and everything in their community, like Queens Village and all that, everything is sinking. And I'm happy about it. Okay? I'm happy that they're giving you a toll. $23? Hey, you still walking on my land for free. And we're not even talking about New York. I'm talking about the whole daggone country. They revamped the map and make you think that America is the largest thing in the world. And you're right. Everybody that don't have nothing in their country, they hustle and sell their ass. And I'm not joking. You sell your behind to get over here. You buy your homes, whether you're from Haiti or Jamaica or from Africa or Ghana, wherever you come from. And yet you don't go back home, some of y'all don't, to take care of your people. Do you know how many kids that are roaming through Jamaica and Chinese are owning most of that, and y'all are too scared to go back, and you say Rastafari? And do you know Dominicans had to go underground when Christopher Columbus was raping and pillaging and plundering? I mean, literally, there were caves. I can show it to you. So I'm not mad at y'all because y'all don't know. I remember when Cuba let out their jails, and that was the height of cocaine. And they was driving down the highway shooting at you to let you know that they're here. I'm not mad at you. But you ain't going to say crap to me ever. Because you know what? You the new niggas. Welcome.
There you go.
Because Paris is taking trillions of dollars from Africa. And why, if y'all was that free, why didn't y'all go and help Mandela? Why did seven black men, Fred Williamson, Muhammad Ali, and a few others, went to Africa to give support? I didn't see nobody come from Africa to give us support, except Mary Makeba. She came over and made a song and showed the song called Click Click. You understand? There was a few others that made songs. But those are songs. Bob Marley wanted us to unite. We're not united, but yet y'all love his songs. Let's not be hypocrites, because 50 years of hip-hop is just showing that they survived. They survived, y'all. They survived you. They survived the police, and the more money they made, they protected themselves. And then somebody said, well, hip-hop can't contribute to their community and help their people. That's a lie. If America don't want you to contribute and you buying 50,000 sneakers and five homes and you bought a home worth $28 million, $50 million, you mean to tell me you can't get a $500,000 home and put it in the lottery and have a fundraising? What? Y'all, most of y'all went to college. You went to college and paid your money. So y'all can't figure out something. My people before me, those who invented that damn folding chair didn't have too much of nothing. And you're sitting your behind in it. I don't even worry about brothers or sisters being respectful, because y'all already know each other as bitches and motherfuckers and dick suckers. And those who got their pants dropped past their ass, we know what time it is. I'm not mad at you selling your ass to survive. I'm not gay. Then what is it? You a hoe. You a prostitute. But I still love you. And then I'm not mad if you don't know that you are the original man and that you helped create these white folks to do what they do. I'm not even worried about Trump. Because I ain't never had to vote in this country. Your vote don't mean crap. It just enhances whatever they're doing up in the White House. And you had more KKK being president for you, and then you thought you was free, and you still worship Obama instead of worshiping yourself, because no black person or Hispanic can make it without you. They can't. Never could. But them 1,000 kids that came down there and busted up the joint and did their $1,000 a piece, they did $1 million worth of damage. All because of a Game Boy promise. I'm not mad at you. When y'all used to think that I was out of my mind, and I said, you do know God is black. And y'all, you know, just like Farrakhan said, why be I would rather you be disappointed in me when I tell you the truth. If I tell you I can't give you something, I can't give it to you. I don't owe you nothing. If I give you a dollar, you should be happy. When I do give y'all something for free, y'all act like I owe you something. And I sent a sister down there in Texas and helped her, advise her with her little business and gave her support, and she kept the money instead of helping the sister and, you know, going to a shelter and giving it to them and didn't send the rest back. I'm not mad at her. And she's Jamaican. Tell me your grandmother and your aunt is a cop. I care less what her title is. I'm a former Marine. I do bombs. When this brother was in Staples and I said, I feel like shooting somebody, first thing he said, I don't know whether it was out of love, but I do appreciate you, Mr. Pitchin, that you said, don't go shoot nobody. Oh, boo, if I was going to do something, I definitely wouldn't say it out loud. Not in this country. And, Ron, you know that. When I'm quiet, yeah. I'm the most dangerous person on the planet.
There you go.
No Muslims, you know, overseas don't like us. There's a lot of people don't like us. And if you feel that powerful anywhere, why is most of the Africans who are in the immigration line on their knees praying? Why are you here?
Exactly.
You got family here? They didn't help you? Why y'all not going to Haiti and fighting? Oh, there's a lot of Haitians here. I remember y'all when the AIDS was, they accused you of creating AIDS. They accused you. And y'all came out the woodwork and started marching through the 42nd Street and Times Square. Y'all was very defiant. Why aren't y'all back there helping your people in your homeland? There's a war getting ready to start. Why ain't you helping?
There you go.
I don't know. Maybe it's me. Because my people, and you don't see Native Americans coming to act, and they still separate us from color because we were blacker than black. They separated the light skins with the straight hair from us. Yeah, you don't have to join up with us because the revolution is coming. Like I told Farrakhan, you don't need to keep telling these white folks and black people what they need to do when their kids are on the street. You think they really put pig intestines inside a man and make his... I'm done. They made you believe that y'all looking at this operation and they put a little pig piece of something to keep his heart going when they steal your kids, and the Jews just got busted in New Jersey for paying people for body parts and intestines for parts of their insides, and the young people of color. How is it that the sex trafficking can only find white women, but you can't find the black ones? How is it that y'all don't know the difference between real fish and fake fish? Because, see, my Asians will tell me, come someday, da, sheshe ni, dometi, what? And like I tell them, why should I be speaking your language and I don't know how to speak my own? I don't speak English. I don't write English, and no, I didn't have the education that Ron had, but I'm smart because my father raised me, and I had home study, and I had to go to a white school. And Dr. Martineau, an Italian, told me that we was going to be drinking bottled water. Foreigners really loved us in the day, except for Jews. You keep getting persecuted every damn time I turn around. But if a black person says something about a lynching or getting shot, what, 150 times?
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Where's the black women that be disappearing from these hotels? And I seen how they do the hook thing. They put the wire up and the rope goes around the knob. They click it open and open up the door and rape you. Yo, you go to them hotels like it's all right. Leave your money. You come back and say, argue with your man. Didn't I leave $50 here? I left $50 here. It's gone. It must have been you, because you know how you. And I didn't take the money. And he's telling the truth, or she's telling the truth, because they know you there. They know you there. And they don't mind taking it from a nigga, but they ain't going to take it from Whitey, because Whitey tips. Yeah, Whitey done tipped and took your woman and screwed your woman and came and did whatever, because you done sold them your child at the age of 15. Because I always liked, you know, Margarita and shit. Are you insane? Queensboro is having a fit because what? All the immigrants are out there. They're everywhere, boo-boo. You protesting because you don't want those kind of people around our kids. Well, you ain't want us around your damn kids. I'm having a ball myself. I don't even know why Ron gets upset. This is a time where God said, those who know, act like you know. When the woman on the bus said, are you a Christian? I said, no, I'm a Muslim. I'm a follower of Farrakhan and Malcolm X. And I'm a Christian. I come from the King James Version, where the Bible is so big and is black. And it took Putin to show you that it's a black Jesus and a black Mary. But a black woman tell you, a black man tell you, you can't believe it. Oh, you know, you just, Carol, you so radical. You know, but if I give you something for free, what, you know, the what's funny, Ron, I'm giving you something for free and you still stealing it. Why? How do you steal free shit? You're a smart man. Can you explain that? How do you, Ron, I'm giving it to you.
In South Carolina,
I'm giving it to you.
Steal, it says steal sweet, not the biscuit, and don't break the crust.
How do you feel? What kind of logic? How did they train them to steal free shit? It's free. I'm giving it to you.
And you're right. And the information is free. It's right there in their face.
Why would you steal something that somebody? I did. I told a brother. He said, "Well, what you been doing?" I said, "I've been doing 25 years." In prison. He said, damn, you look good. I said, yeah, I did it with my son. So where we go from here? I'm not selling no ass, so what are we? He said, damn, you direct. I said, well, aren't y'all? I mean, shit, I ain't got to go to a peep show. I could look at Beyonce and the rest, and they butt naked titties and everything. It used to be y'all would pay Show World to come and see a titty. Now titties all over the damn place, and ass is every which way, and it's free. You're showing immigrants you could get some pussy, because that's all you tell them niggas is like, yo, you know that she's a dot. She's a diss. What you helping? What are you doing, my brother, to make her any different? And if she's one, what does that make you?
Right.
What does that make you? Because, see, my sons are kings. They were princes at 12 years old. They were men at 12.
Right.
I've been a Muslim since Malcolm X. I don't wear my garbs because I'm out in the world. But believe me, my heart means the world to me. And I love telling the truth. I tell on myself. That's why Ron and Wimborne and the rest of them, they laugh. Because I tell them, look, when we went to prison, you can't wear this. You can't. And Ron looked at me like he was getting ticked off. Like, bitch, if I take, he didn't say bitch, but he looked at me like, bitch, if I take another piece of clothes off, well, that's what we got to do to get in. Mm. And this is what I go through. So what makes you, you a grown man. So how you think I feel, and I was born up there. How you think I feel? And I'm not lying. Am I lying, Ron?
Not at all, no.
Okay.
It's real. It's real.
Okay. When you walked, I said, no, you can't wear that. But that's, you can't wear that. You can't put that on. You can't put, you're just going to have to hold up your pants and just go in there. And they gave, and because I carry myself and my son learned on his own, and we have God and Allah in our life, because his name is Shalik. And he studied on his own. He carried his own interview. And I was put to the side as his mother, as a queen. And I'll have more respect in prison than I do in the five boroughs of New York. Because, if you know, nigga, it used to be my brother. How you do it? My brother, my sister.
Right.
Tried to fight and ask y'all, you know, to start lunch programs and we could have our own school. No, we going to move into the projects, but y'all had homes. You had brownstones. And then they lied and told you they was going to sell it to you for a dollar, and it was so difficult for some people to get it. It was just outrageous. If it wasn't for, you know, other people pretending to be foreigners and stuff like that so they could get it. And like the person said, oh, I got Indian. I'm not. There's no lie about me being a Native American. My hair don't have to be straight like theirs. I'm from a different environment. We used to eat red clay dirt, like y'all ate Argo starch. And y'all went from picking cotton from being sharecroppers. And when my mother used to make her money, she went and bought cigarettes and tossed it over to the women in prison and made sure that they had jobs. So what, they were hookers. They worked with Reverend Knight. They ate, and they had savings account. What they got today? You got 15-year-olds out in Queens on Jamaica Avenue selling their ass. I went to the bank today and saw an Indian woman wearing a nightgown with sneakers, running back and forth, scratching her coochie, you know, looking at me, and I'm looking at her. Are you hungry? No, I don't eat from niggas. I said, not a problem. When you find a nigga, don't eat from them. Go sell that ass. And the Spanish brother came over. He said, don't say nothing to her because you've been watching and fucking us ever since she's been running up and down, because she wouldn't run up and down in this area if y'all wasn't giving her no dick or she's not sucking your dick. So stop. Go back across the street. I can handle mine. And like I told Farrakhan, we ain't got to tell these people nothing anymore. Pay your own. Yeah, I remember when hip-hop was born. And our own people, not Whitey, our own people was paid by Whitey. Oh, they disturbing us. They making us look bad. How the fuck do poor people make you look bad? They was talking unity. When it first came out, and talk about, you know, the record that your band heading for self-destruction. Well, how was that? How was that killing you? So Indeed, I'm going to change the topic because that's enough of that. Indeed has a lot of jobs, and if you have your business, I like for you to be able to call. And my number is 917-838-0699. I'm Carolyn Smith. And the other thing is, I have a sister I want to introduce to you. She has her own product. Her name is Miss Crystal, and that's the name of her email is Lovable Melick. That's L-U-V-A-B-L-E-F. M A MELLC.com. And she's on Instagram. And she got creams, she got body scrubs. The body scrubs go for $35. The lotion is $30. Seaweed wash, $30. Blemish clearing, $20. And the body cream is $40. And I met her in the fish market, and we was discussing real food and fake food, and we saw the difference. And I just love her, and she just, I thank her mother and father for creating her. And she said, can I have a hug? I said, from me? So I just came on here to brag because somebody wanted me to hug them because of the truth. And I met a brother and an Asian brother. They opened up the pot shop on Broadway, 5625 Broadway, from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and because I only want to smoke weed with seeds in it, they were truly happy that I was advertising for them. So they, you spend $150, you get an eighth or edible for free. And when I said, come samdida, she me, he said, oh, my goodness. And the brother was looking at me, and the Chinese dude, he said, no, I'm Vietnamese. I said, bow, bow. And he's like, yo, I love you. I said, well, I'm a vet. And it took a little four-foot woman who knew how to cut you with a razor and went out there and made me my first hamburger from Field Rat. So I loved them dearly because they fed me when the white man wouldn't. So I'm just saying, to all my veteran brothers and sisters, I love you. If you're going through PTSD, you need somebody to talk to, you can always call me. That's 917-838-0699. So anybody that has a business or trying to do something, or you might have children that want to do something, I work with or help guide. I don't do anything for them. They have to do it for themselves. I will give them the information for free. You could be 15 to 25, and anybody older, I will help guide you. If you're interested in dealing with politics, I will send you to a place called a Latin Leadership Program. They will train you for free, whereas the black groups and the white groups want hundreds and hundreds of dollars. It shouldn't be like that, but it is. And I would like to teach and show politics in elementary, junior high school and high school so they know how to fight and keep their neighborhood together. As I said, assalamu alaikum, salam, salam, and God bless you all. I have no intentions of going to Alabama unless I'm protected by my brothers. I'm not trusting nothing because there's a civil war going on. And to Hawaii, you did not get burned up by accident. This was planned. And anytime you got people ready to go and buy your land and it just got burnt and killed all those people, and I'm praying for y'all to really know the truth. That nobody that, even if I had a small grill in the back of the Bronx, could burn down all the Bronx.
Wow.
So if that's the lie they telling you, it's a lie. It's a lie. No grill set the whole damn island on fire and burn up everybody on the highways. And, the man didn't even pull the horn. He said it was for a tsunami. So either you got paid, my brother, or you just didn't give a damn. Because if I knew my people was burning up like that, I'd pull in every horn, everything that I can to save them. That was a burning of life. And I'm not mad at you, but I don't know who paid you or what this government did to you to make you kill your own. Because the realtors are out there ready to buy up dead, burnt up land already. And for Paris, let me tell you, you piece of something, okay? You get $1 trillion from Africa from Africa and you charge them, and you get $1 trillion a month from mm-hmm. the whole damn country. South Africa is getting ready to unite. And you got one Indian billionaire feeding one part of Africa that y'all don't even think about. So before you open your mouth, go back home. Try to stay alive. Because you wouldn't be here. They open up the doors. And don't sleep on America, because what's going to happen, if you don't get your papers together, they're going to do a sweep. And they're going to start taking y'all, putting y'all back in jail and shipping y'all back home. So you're going to get a taste of this. And this is in the plan right now. So don't start looking at Trump or Biden. This is what they're doing. They're going to start hiring foreigners to seek your behind mm-hmm. out. So if you need to do a marriage to a black person or to your own kind, because your own kind ain't going to mess with you. I'm telling you now, you could be Haitian, Ghanese, whatever, from Kenya, wherever you came from, and those who are from colleges and graduated here, they're trying to get certain programs going over there that can house and make things better as far as jails and group homes and all that. So those who went to college here and they're from your generation, they're going back to try to make things better so they could get richer too.
Mm.
So wake up and let's not worry about the Arabs, because those who are not from those who are not Arab, like what you call the Arabians and things, they don't worry about
them.
Huh?
The Arabs, Saudi Arabians, the Saudis.
Saudi Arabians,
the Saudis,
who got oil and they not trying
Arab
to be
immigrants.
Yeah, and those who go to that new city and y'all feel like, oh, well, they love black people. Listen, there's black people that are enslaved over there and they are working the hell out of them. And for you to go worship another country and you can't take care of your own, that's a shame, but who am I to judge? And I just want y'all to know God is alive. He's alive, and he's watching this. And Satan is about to be a one-on-one. When the revolution starts, I hope your wife and you know how to fight. I hope she knows how to shoot. I hope y'all know how to eat. I hope you know how to share. I hope you know your enemy. And in the name of Jesus and Allah and all the names that y'all got God under, remember, it's supposed to be church, not 50 million.
There you go.
So the hustle is over. It's over. And I got jobs. And if you need a reference and you just came out of jail, I'll give you a year reference. And I will definitely put a stamp on it and said you work for me. And if you've been homes, and you haven't been adopted, I'm giving you permission to use my last name, and I will be your mother in 50 states. I don't know how I'm going to do it, but if just like the African did it when the AIDS started and he adopted all the homeless kids and snatched them off the streets and from under cars and made them his children, I'm doing the same thing.
Amen.
You don't have to feel alone.
Amen.
You don't have to feel like you got to steal. And those who I've helped already and they feel like they manipulated and somebody owes them something, you best to find somebody else to mess with. Because, see, I may hit 70, but my body hasn't. And I still know how to do C4. That's my best friend. So think again. And the brother that got shot, the young man that got shot because he was hanging with the wrong crowd, and they told him, don't touch that gun. When they shot you in your right leg, they meant to kill you. Because your right leg is connected, that whole vein is connected to your heart. So you need to know that they're not playing with you. They want you to go out there and get stupid so they could kill you. So I advise all the gangs to be humble and start learning how to eat, how to feed your community. Instead of fighting each other, you better start coming together, because hip-hop is not going to do anything for you. And Beyonce is not in love with you where she's going to come and feed you. I've never seen any of them, except for a few, come through the neighborhood. And the only one I know that might give you some food is LL, and that's on occasions. It's about the poor. The what's at the bottom rises to the top. Start rising. You can do it. I'm going to tell you a joke. What's the highest mountain? Mount Kenjamo? Come on, work with me, Ron. What's the highest mountain in the world?
You got me there. I forgot that one. I Mount Everest one time, Mount Kenevo.
And what, Kenjamo or something?
Every time you look around, they get to another country and they find something higher than the other.
Okay, well, this is the highest mountain in the world. And there was a Chinese man, a Spanish man, a black man, and a white man. And everybody was, you know, God was looking out for everybody. And they went up to this mountain because they want to give to God what God has given to them. So the Chinese man said, thank you, God, whatever God they prayed to. He said, thank you. You took care of all my people. They ate clean water. You cleaned up everything, all the hell. So I'm jumping off this mountain to give, to show that I love my people and to give thanks to you, Lord. So he jumped. And then it was the Spanish man. He said, you know, in his language, he said, you fed my people from no matter where they was, Puerto Rican, Dominican, you fed my people. You brought peace to my people. And you know, you looked out for them. There's no more rape. There's no more drugs, this, that, and the other. And I'm going to show you, Lord, this is my donation for my people. And he jumped. And the black man said, thank you, Lord. I'm going to give you my donation. He grabbed the white man, threw him off the mountain, and walked home. So I just want you to know. It's going to come a time. We're going to throw your ass off the mountain for a donation. That's the first time I made you laugh, Ron. And to my hey. Marines, simplify, and may God bless
there you
all.
Well, let's open up the mics and see if anyone want a job or got any information that they want to get from you as well.
Okay.
Let's open up 813-900. Your mic is open.
Hello.
Greetings. I'm at work, so I just took a moment. Greetings. My name is Miss Inez. I'm in Tampa, Florida. I'm a fashion designer. I appreciate everything you all spoke about this evening. You know, you always learn something when you close your mouth and listen. So
yes.
This is a listening evening for me. I have a Blog Talk Radio as well. Let's do a radio on Tuesdays and Thursdays and Sunday evenings and every other Wednesday for Bible study. And I just appreciate you all for giving us this information, just, you know, just hearing about what we don't know about because we need to know about it. So I just thank you. I'd love to get everything, but, you know, right now I'm just getting an understanding. So I appreciate you all coming on this evening and teaching us and letting us learn about things that we've not heard about before. You said, I'm going to learn today. I definitely learned today. So thank you, thank you, thank you. To,
can you take my number and let me know what kind of clothing you are making and so I can buy black, because I don't go to Macy's or Gimbel's or none of them places. They ain't never liked me then, and they don't need to like me now. So I don't go to Target or none of that. So if you could take my number, I greatly appreciate you, my queen. And my number is 917. 838.
Okay.
0699. My name is Carolyn Smith. They call me the Enigma. And you could call me and let me know what else might need your community might need, and I can help for free. And when you have your Bible studies, you can, you know, explain to them that I'm trying to help the youth that they don't want to really deal with, you know, start their own business and make them feel good. And I really want to wear your outfit, whatever it is you're making. You know, and if somebody's making shoes out there for big feet women like me, I greatly appreciate it.
And I do men and women's clothes. So, you know, men, you know, hey, I'll be there and I will send you, when I have my Blog Talk shows, basically the last couple of months, I basically was lifting up men because they don't get the praise and the honor and the due respect that they need.
Men,
and so
amen.
I was just kind of giving them the appreciation. I was basically Celltech 1212 on men, Beauty and the Beast, just everything for the men because they get knocked down so many times and they're not allowed to be men. And I'll probably have a show soon. It's okay to be a man.
Yes,
because,
it is. And be straight too, and have your pants up. You
right,
and everybody
right.
can't be a hooker and a hoe. Somebody got to be a housewife.
Right.
So call me and let me know when you're starting so we could, you know, let them know what channel you on and throw something your way because we're not stingy or greedy.
Okay, I appreciate that. And it's Miss Inez says, and it's on blogtalkradio.com / Let's Do a Radio. And,
and where are you located?
I'm in Tampa, but I am worldwide, but I'm in Tampa, Florida.
Well, we're in New York, and we're the Ethiopian World Federation, and we're worldwide, and we appreciate you coming on. And if you got other sisters and strong brothers that you speak about, bring them with you.
Okay.
Okay.
Right.
You can take my number as well. Inez, you can take my number as well. I'll give you
my number.
My name is Ron, R-O-N, Robinson, like Smokey Robinson, R-O-B-I-N-S-O-N, and it's 518-866-7605.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch the first part at all. I'm sorry.
518-866-7606.
I knew I had to send you for a whole time.
05.
You said it might be negative.
05 or 09?
05.
And wait to bring it home.
Thank you.
Okay.
And if you don't mind me, I'd like to shout out, there's going to be a virtual summit that's coming on, and it's for men and women. September the 22nd through the 24th, and I'm shouting out for Dr. Monica Jackson. Don't know if anybody's heard about her, but she's having it. It's called the M4 Summit, and it's men speakers. Oh, good. Okay. And she's, you know, having this virtual summit, and they have 12 men speakers, and so I'm just trying to get the word out. Last night they were on my show, and a few of them came on. And so, so if anybody wants tickets, it's drmonicajackson.com/M4summit. That's drmonicajackson.com.
Where's it going to be located?
It's virtual. So, you know, once you get on the drmonicajackson.com.
It's going to be virtual. Okay. Zoom and et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
No, wait here at the Black Business Billionaires Network Club. Connected with the African American Independence Day, connected to the Ethiopian World Federation Incorporated, connected to L.W. Bridges Real Estate Corporation, which is the oldest black real estate company since 1909, and connected to Urban League, NAACP, and all the black associations. So this particular broadcast and this radio program here, the Black Business Billionaires Network Club, it's about economic stability, independence, self-preservation, and moving the black communities forward, and try to pave a way for the young people, like Sister Carol's doing with the jobs and the employment and the opportunities. A lot of brothers and sisters, what she's doing is magnificent because a lot of brothers and sisters come out of jail. They don't have a job reference. So she's giving them a job reference. She's helping them do the resume preparing, and then she's directing them to the job itself. So that's a, that's an all-in-one step assistance. So we're about, here at the Black Business Billionaires Network Club, we're about economic stability for the purpose of helping someone in need. The Bible says much is given, much is required. And so I'm telling brothers and sisters, if you got $1 million, it ain't all for you and your family. You must share, and God will bless you with more. I have been blessed, and Carol has been blessed, and so many people have come on my show. Dr. Herb Harris, the first self-made millionaire and self-educated attorney. Dr. Cook used to have the BET show, the Amateur Millionaire. She made 1,000 African-American people millionaires. And, you know, it's about sharing, sharing information, sharing opportunities. Everything ain't for everybody. So you have to have a little bit of different people come on and work together to try to move the whole thing forward. And so I appreciate you and your radio program, and hopefully I'll get the information to come on sometime and listen to what you're talking about on your broadcast as well. And, you know, I tell people the Black Business Network Club, I would love people to continue to call in and come in and listen to what's going on, because we have a lot of folks come on this radio program who have established themselves, you know, millionaires and billionaires. They come on, they're not gonna all gonna tell y'all, you know, what they are and their status, but I'm letting y'all know. I'm connected like that, and I'm connecting myself with sisters and brothers that are trying to do something. Not everybody who just wanna get rich. And America is addictive for wealth. Y'all, I'm telling y'all people right now, America make you get addicted to wealth. You get a thousandaire, you want to be a millionaire. You want a millionaire, you want to be a billionaire. You want to be a billionaire, you want to be a zillionaire. And these people are trying to get some kind of money that ain't no kind of numbers to go with it. You understand what I'm saying? But God created everything for a purpose. And so, sir, ma'am, if by the sound of my voice, my brother, my sister, you out there and you're successful, it doesn't have to be money. But if you're successful in business, you have a creativity, you have a job opportunity, you know, you can reach out and motivate young people to stay away from drugs and alcohol and gangs and killing and having premature sex and babies and et cetera, and creating a disaster. If we can come together, it takes a village to raise a child, and that's you, that's me, that's everybody. I got my 6 children, but I don't limit myself. I still help other children as well. They're all our children. And so people, you know, each one reach one. Everybody can reach one somebody. You know, my grandmother just said, if I help one somebody, then my life wouldn't be in vain. Reach out and help somebody, people. That's what it's about. And people say to me, oh, why are you calling it the Black Billionaire? Because why not reach to the top and be a good soul? Why not? Why the good man don't have $1 billion so he can spread love, the $1 zillion? All the people that got all the money, they're not doing what they're supposed to do. They're not reaching out to develop and help others. They're not teaching each other how to become successful. And so why not the good man, the man of God, the woman of God, become successful? Not for yourself so you can say, look at me, I'm this, I'm that, whatever it is, but that you can build a manufacturing company. And that's another thing we got to start doing, people. Start wasting your money on buying things unnecessarily. Buy a company, buy a factory, buy a business, buy land, buy homes, buy buildings where you can put people to work. You can put people to shelter. You can put people to environments that are conducive. These things they doing now, people, look what they doing. They're bringing people in from illegal immigrants in, and they're putting them into $500,000, $600,000 a night hotels. And they're telling the Americans in Manhattan, you can't come in this hotel. They're throwing the Americans out, and the Americans are still sleeping on the street, hungry and homeless and needy, and they bringing somebody in from someplace else, putting them on welfare, giving them the caviar and champagne, and putting them into big-time hotel. That don't make no sense. That don't make a bit of sense. If you can't control your home, if you go to somebody's home and their children ain't clean and they're hungry and the house is a mess, you gonna let them come to your house and take care of your home? No, you're not. because you're going to say, this person can't, you can't take care of your own. The Bible says sweep in front of your own dough before you're sweeping somebody else. Why did God say sweep your own dough first? Because he wants you to have some experience when you go to sweep the other dough for somebody else. Common sense things, people. And we have to have common sense as a people. We have to see for what it is. I call it out for what it is. Because why? Because people need to wake up. Everybody is precious. Everybody's important. I ain't got nothing against white people, and I'm not really talking about the word white people ain't real. The word black people ain't real, but it's what people call themselves. And you sometimes you have to say those things to make people understand. But let me explain this to y'all, okay? God loves everybody, and if you can't love everybody, then something wrong with you. But I'm calling out not the white people, the common man. I'm calling out the American government. They're the problem. People, if there's a racist problem in America, it starts from the head. It's the government. They can control that. They can put messages out there to make people understand. They could tell the truth in the history. People are uneducated in America. That's why white people are mad at black people and immigrants and all this. Because people are not educated. They don't know. And that's why I'm telling people, you got an iPhone, you got a tablet, you have a laptop, you have a desktop computer. Stop Googling silliness and Game Boys and all these little games they play, sugar games, whatever they call it. Stop playing the games. I tell my grandchildren, my great-great-grandchildren, stop playing games, get on there and learn something. Learn your history, learn what's going on in your environment, because if you don't understand it, it will devour you. Get to learn, and it's simple. It's not as difficult. When I was growing up, we didn't have cell phones and computers and all these things. You had to find things out by going to the library and getting in the book and reading it, which is good as well. It's also good, but people got to start to educate themselves, start to understand what you're dealing with, and stop pointing fingers at everybody. That's what I was saying. That's what I was saying in my monologue. We're pointing fingers, we're talking about each other, and there's somebody, the 1% of controlling all the wealth is using you, Mr. Poor White Man, Mr. Poor Immigrant, Mr. Poor Black Man. He's using you to go against each other while he sit back and ching, 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 make all the money and make a fool of you. So people learn. I love these white people that get on the YouTube and talk about if you comb your hair, if you got a refrigerator, if you got a stoplight, and if you get rid of black people, you wouldn't have had a stoplight. You wouldn't have potato chips. You wouldn't have had a pot. You wouldn't have had a seat, because we invented everything. But he's saying, if you're that prejudiced and that stupid and don't know history, one for them, we wouldn't have had the things that the luxury that we have now in our apartments and our homes, that we have conveniences that we have. We wouldn't have had it if the black slave was not here to invent it. So they're trying to tell y'all something. God created everybody for a purpose, and everybody contribute, and we have to appreciate each other. A white woman told me one time, she said, Ron, you my friend. We went to graduate school together. She said, but I don't see color. I don't see color. I don't see black. I said, that's very unfortunate. And she said, why? I said, because I want you to see who I am, but I want you to appreciate me as well as I appreciate you, as you don't told me you're Lithuanian, you're Jewish, you're Italian, you're, because white people know all their percentages of every little thing from the last 0.1% blood drop. They know every European country their parents came from, and they know it all. And I said, you told me all of that. You told me you're Swedish and all these things you are. And I appreciate those things in you. And I want you to appreciate that I'm more than just black. The Bible says they call you black or white or Italian or Irish or Jamaican or Indian, whatever. But God said you're much more than that to him.
Amen.
You're much more than that.
Ron,
so
do we have another guest?
Yes.
Okay.
We got 205-742. Your mic is open.
Hello.
Hello, everyone.
Hey.
Terrence, all right. Terrence in the house.
Oh, Lord, have mercy.
Representing Alabama.
You know
Alabama,
you know what you do to me, Terrence. You know what you do. Do what you do, Terrence. Do what you do.
Well, since we talk,
Brother Terrence. How are you?
I am doing wonderful. About to burn up down here in Alabama, but we hanging in here.
Well, save the heat. We might not have. I might not be able to pay my gas. I might need some.
Hey, we got enough heat to send up there to you. It'll brighten things up and warm it up, too.
It's good to hear your voice. It's always good to hear from you. What's going on in Alabama, big brother?
Well, it's quieting down, but we still find ourselves in a lot of quagmires. We have a situation in a little small town which a black man have won the election for being the first black mayor of a town called New Bern, Alabama.
The white folk
refuse to let him in. The town ain't got about 200 people in it, so it ain't a whole lot much to argue about. But the white people still want to control it and say they hadn't had an election in 60 years. 60 years. They just been doing whatever way they want to. But like you said, Alabama finds itself in all kind of quagmires and different situations. But the black associations of mayors in the state of Alabama came together last weekend, and they all putting together. The NAACP showed up, and they working on it to see if
tell him I say congratulations and thank you. I mean, it's always a pleasure to know at least Alabama is doing the thing right. And I'm congratulations. After 60 years, Whitey held that thing down and didn't want nothing black. I know they having a seizure, the poor babies. I feel Hallelujah. What's the name of the mayor,
huh? You know, it's so incredible that after 400 years in America telling the world that their democracy, their peace, their love, they got everybody, and the government don't have the common sense to step into that situation because it's constitutional. It's a constitutional violation, number one. They violate the Constitution. They violated Robert Rules of Order, parliamentary procedure. They violated the judicial system. They violated state and federal laws. They violated, okay? And it's a shame that the American government don't have common sense enough to step in there and stop the violations. They can
remove
violations.
Let's find out the name of the mayor. What's the name of the mayor, Terrence, Mr. Terrence?
I haven't repeated his name enough to call it back to you, to be honest with you. I have to go back and get the paperwork out on it, read what it ain't.
It's in the news, sister. You can Google it.
Yeah, it's on Joe Biden's desk now. It made
better. Okay. Yeah. Well, Ron, would you give an applause to this gentleman that won? At least we know the area, the name of the places again.
Yes, New Bern, Alabama.
Can we give New Bern a standing ovation, Ron?
Yes, definitely. We got to find out what folks are now. You know how they are. They hide out a little bit there. Little thing there. Here we are. We got them.
Well, we need to get our brother who's
swam. Carol, that's such a good thing. We're gonna give him a second hand.
All right.
Oh, my goodness. We celebrate. Now, I got chills. I tell you, I wish I was younger and just came out the Marines. I was sure enough come down there. But I know that they would be putting me away 6 feet under. Because
hey,
I will let them know. I will let them know. Get ready. Color your door. I will come through there with a black paintbrush and color their doors black and tell them, greet your black mayor and get over yourself.
It's coming. Hey, and don't come with no fear. We showed you in the Alabama brawl. We ain't going to back down. Now, there's a few of them may be scared, but some of us ain't, a whole lot of us ain't scared down here. Try us if you want to. They'll get the same thing they got it last week on that steamboat brawl.
Yeah, well, 600 people, I mean, really.
It ain't that many. It ain't that
many. It ain't even 600. It's probably 30 hiding in the corner, right?
Right, it's about 200 at the time. Bo Woods and farming, they still farm. I think a lot of the local blacks was in that town. A lot of them still got sharecropper mine. I think a lot of them probably read on Mr. Man land, and they got to behave, to keep
it
getting.
I understand in order for them to eat, but once the mayor.
Right.
And others come and support them,
right.
You know, and help them, because I really have the information for black farmers to have their own. And there's a big lawsuit throughout the 50 states because America did not give the black farmers the monies that they needed to grow their food. And that's why I asked all blacks who are millionaires to start supporting your black farmers, because the government won't. But I'm not mad at you if you don't keep your money. Money won't save your life. It won't give you life. It won't stop you from dying. It just makes you live for the day.
Absolutely. I got one more point to kind of shift the gear a little bit.
Yes,
I got
sir.
A product, and I got a new company I want to introduce to the radio station for all those people who suffer with some kind of health issue, some kind of pain, insomnia, or anything that alienating your body. I got a product I want to introduce. I won't introduce it tonight because I got to get more information before I speak on it, but I just want to introduce it tonight, and I'll be bringing more information in the future. The Lord said the same.
Let me ask you, is it a rub? It's an ointment or a pill?
No, it's a patch. It says not medicine. It's a technology. They done discovered a pattern that patch got on it, and it gets the body in rhythm. It's a real rhythmatic type patch that you put on.
Okay.
And then
if you
got an imbalance, if you got something going on with you, like can't sleep, insomnia, a whole list of things that can alienate your body.
Yeah.
And it's not medicine.
Well,
it'll
I know. I can use it. I got this left leg in pain. I know I can use that. Yeah,
if you can suffer any kind of pains or anything, it's a testimonial thing, and it's instant. You said that you got that issue. They said it instantly start working on you,
definitely.
And
I like to try it.
So many testimonies that they came in. Yes.
Yeah, I like to try it.
You can text me that information. But what's the name of the product?
It's called Super Patch. The Super Patch. And
all
it got
right.
a different it got a whole list of names according to what elements that you're dealing with. It looks like about 6, 7, 8 different type patches you can wear that are specifically targeting whatever elements you got. You can tailor make it, you can wear all the patches. They said it's revolutionizing medicine, but this is not a medicine. They call it a technology. So you can throw your medicine, all that man-made medicine, and all that stuff. What got 100 side effects? You kind of start laying them aside according to testimony.
All right.
Amen. Amen. Sounds good.
But further information yet to come.
Amen. Ron, I'm
going
to have to switch over to my other number because, the landline is getting ready to die out.
Okay. So what's 646-943? Your mic is open. 646-943, your mic is open.
Yeah, Ron. Raheem here.
Hey, brother. What's happening? What's going on?
How you doing? The name of that mayor is called Patrick Blackson. The man
that
they locked out?
Patches.
Patrick Blackson.
Blackson?
The one they locked out of where?
Out of Alabama, what you always talking about.
Yeah.
The mayor.
Patches. And his last name?
Blackson.
Rhapsody.
B-R-A-X-T-O-N.
Braston.
Braston, B-R-A-S-T-O-N, Braston.
No, F.
F.
No, F. X is in X.
S. S.
B-R-A, X is in X-ray.
Oh, X.
Yes.
T-O-N.
Oh, Braston, like Tony Braston.
Braston,
the singer.
Tony Braston, yes.
Yes, sir.
No, no, not Tony Braxton. I'm just saying that's the same. The last name is
okay,
Braston,
B-R-A-X-T-O-N.
And what's the first name?
Patrick.
Patrick Braston. Well, okay. Congratulations to Patrick Braston. We are celebrating you, and we pray that you get into the office and that they do something about this ASAP. You got the support of the Ethiopian World Federation and of this old Marine and of Reverend Ron and all the people that's listening to this group right now, those who don't believe that there's still racism thick and lovely throughout the little back parts of the woods. Think again.
Burn your eyes and you'll be dying.
Think again, but Honorable Mayor Patrick Braston, welcome to the world of politics.
Yes, sir.
Go get your
there you
little
go. There you go.
200 people.
Ron, what's up?
Raheem, what's happening with the products and services that you want to mention some of that stuff?
COVID is going back on the uptick in New York, in America, you know that.
What's that now?
COVID is back up. They got an uptick in America.
You know, it's a pleasure talking to
you. Yeah,
people.
I heard about that. I heard about that as well. Yeah.
Pictures. Yeah. I would love to, you know, express.
And what's happening with the products as well?
There's some young adults that might have been troublesome. That.
What's happening with the products?
Everything is good. Everything is working. You know, I'm getting ready to do it.
Yeah, I want you to mention some of the products and what's going on in that area.
Okay. Well, COVID is coming back, and the product is still there. The product, it eliminates COVID in less than 60 seconds. You know, and it's a different product. It's a space age, state-of-the-art product that it sends out hydrogen peroxide molecule, and it sanitizes the air. I mean, that's what it does. You know? And I've used it. I never got COVID. I had it in my house for like 3 years running. It runs, and it used the energy of a light bulb. Yo.
Amen. Amen. How much is it?
Well, it costs $1,500. Okay.
What about the small unit that you wear around your neck?
Oh, that's the small unit around the personal. That's $129. And then they got one.
$129.
Okay.
$199.
You know. That's the patch. Is that the patch that's $10.99?
Mm-hmm.
Is there
no,
a patch, or is that
it's
two different products? The one that brother.
Yeah, it's two different. Yeah, this is for the product that Raheem is talking about. They clean the air around you. It cleans up the air, all the bacteria, all the toxins.
Well, $129, I could buy that one. I don't think my raggedy apartment, which has been on the government, has made it a landmark. Is worth the $1,900. Well, my pockets can't handle that right now, to be honest. But I could do $129 if you send Reverend Ron the information.
Well, Ron got the information. Ron definitely got the information.
Okay, well, thank you so much.
I have to go back and check this site, yeah.
Yeah, I'll send it to you.
But
again,
definitely
Ron.
Also, you know, Raheem also, you know, there's a good opportunity, ladies and gentlemen, to participate and selling these items. You know, you can get your website set up and things of that sort. And you can, you know, this, and it's good items. I mean, it's something that people could really help them. And the $1,600 really not, you know, that much when you talk about your health and not getting COVID and clean up your environment, especially if you got little children, babies, you know, you got people that have cardiovascular problems, diabetes, people that are mentally and physically challenged. You know, this is very good.
Mold is a killer. You know what I'm saying? And mold is indirectly the cause of why a lot of our people has been affected, because people living in the mold apartment, what mold does, and all the viruses does, they compromise your immune system.
Of your and church, you know, of that they were like.
And with compromised immune system, the COVID loves that, because the COVID just piggyback on that, and just proliferates, you know. So it's a thing that, you know, we up against the big traditional air filters, but this is going to be a what we call a disruptor technology. In other words, when everything else fails, they're going to come back to this technology, because this is a scientific technology, and what it did, it took the creation, how the creator kills and eliminate the pollution in the air. All they did was they transferred to the inside. They took technology and they produced the hydrogen peroxide that the creation produced naturally, and they took it indoors and they produced the same thing. So this thing goes back to nature, you know, and you can't beat nature, because nature is the origin of everything.
Amen.
You know, so this is going to be around for a while. And this is going to be this is the solution to the problem, you know. It's kind of new, and you know, I tell people, it says, you know, you can make the best mousetrap, but if you don't have a proliferation of rats, then they're going to stay with the little wood and trap, because they're never going to let you go. But if it comes to a point where it's overwhelmed and the little wood sap is not working or not is not sufficient, then they're going to look for something else that's sufficient. And this is the same type of situation that we have, you know. But Ron, the other thing I wanted to say to you is, and your people in your listening audience, okay, is that I just reintroduce a training that I had in my life that I just got with my trainer. And this is if you got a minute, or do I have a minute?
Yeah, go right ahead. Yeah, go right ahead. Definitely.
Okay. I was in finance, all right, and I was a financier, and I was a graphic artist. And these people from the Middle East, they recruited me to do their magazine. But in recruiting me, I had to take this training. But like I said at the beginning, that this was a financial company, and people had to invest in the company. And everybody that invested in the company had to take this training. I didn't have to pay. I didn't have to invest in the company. But the people who invested in the company, to get in the company, they had the minimum was $125,000 to get into this company. And when you got into the company, you had to take this training. And if you failed the training, they gave you back your $125,000 and told you that you could not be part of this company.
All right.
Okay.
Now, I like that.
What was the training? The training was two parts. The first part was effective communication. That it teaches, it training you to know the people around you. to really know the people around you, because people, when they come, when you meet people, you don't really know, you really don't know the person by what they tell you who they are. Because it's just like you meet a girl, you know, they don't tell you the real, you don't find the real stuff until you get married. And that, sometimes you say, man, who's that lady? That lady, you understand? And you may have been courting
right.
each other. You know,
yes, I've been there 3 times.
Okay, so what happened is that it gives you a skill to see the intangible. So it gives you a skill to know the person when the person tells you the truth. Okay. It's the same thing that the police use investigation when has been interrogated by the police. But when they first start asking questions, they ask you stupid questions. And you be saying, well, why is Sue asking me stupid questions? And they be asking you the stupid questions because they be setting you up for the real questions. And the real question is when... Great question. They know if you tell them the truth or not. Okay? So this is the training that I got. The second part of the training was the most important part of the training. Okay? And it had to do with you. Okay? Your morality and everything. Now, this was a 6-day training. Okay? So for 6 days, I had to go through this training. And if I failed the training, the next day I didn't.
What happened the next day?
I didn't have a job the next day. Okay, if I failed the training. Okay. Now, what do you think they was looking for? What they was looking for was first thing, a person asked me the other day. It says, well, when you took the training, Could I explain it in one word what they was trying to achieve? And I told them I couldn't tell them in one word, but I can tell them in 2 words. And the thing that they were looking for was your word. Okay? Looking for your word. If you was a man of your word, that may be real simple. But in a lot of cases, it's really hard for people to keep their word. If you've been in life, you know that some people say certain things, and hey, man, they do not live up to their word. You know, so this training will bring that out. And if you're self-destructive, okay, it will bring that out. Now, I can tell you this, is that if you was foul or a psychopath, you wouldn't last 2 days in the training because you would not be able to do the homework. This has been a training that I can tell you has been, besides my religion, this has been the best training that I had in my life. And I have been training because I ran drug programs. I've been an entrepreneur. I ran a business outreach center where I counsel business people. I've developed programs, okay? I've developed programs for proposals. That's in my life that I did. I've been a mediator, a arbitrator. So I had a lot of trainings in my life. A lot of it was when I was running an administrator in the drug program, okay? But I can tell you that it's the best training I have in my life. And the testimonial that I can give that is the best I had in my life is that I took my own money bought my trainer from Houston, Texas, on my dime, for him, my granddaughter and my daughter, to expose them to this training. That's how magnificent and changed my life to transfer.
You said that now. You said people get a job afterwards.
Well, let me say this to you. It's a training. What I can say to you is that if you're in leadership, or you can get a job after it. I'm saying to you, you have a skill. You have a people skill, okay? That you wouldn't have before you took this training. So you can, once you have this training, like say you want to be an interviewer, okay, or say you want to go into the drug field, like a drug counselor. See, that's something I know about. You see, people that the patients in drug programs or drug addicts, they had a penchant for lying. Okay, now, I don't know if anybody on your radio program has any type of experience, but drug addicts are liars. Okay. And can I get an amen on that?
Amen.
Yeah, they will lie to a drop of a hat. Now, if you were the counselor and you had this training and you had this skill, you can, and you knew their personality and this character, because that's what this training does. It teaches you personality and character, how to identify them. If you can identify that character, you can ask them a question. And before they answer, now listen to this question, this closely. You can ask them a question, and before they answer, you could tell them that you're getting ready to lie to me. Now, how powerful is that?
Okay? Very powerful. And I must say, that time is I just looked and time is just caught up on us so quickly. Hopefully you can come back tomorrow night or Sunday night or back next Friday, and we can continue this conversation because it's extremely important, and I think it'd be very helpful. I don't know how many people got $125,000, but I'm sure somebody out there.
That's when the people had to get into the company. We're not talking about $125,000. Okay? So, Ron, what I'm going to do is I'm going to send you my website on the training.
Okay, great.
Okay?
Great.
And then you can
great.
Put it to your listening audience. Okay?
Okay, I shall.
Well, I'm turning it back.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much. God bless everyone. And we see you next Friday night, 7 to 9. Come on, tomorrow night, we'll be with Dr. Benyamin Bridges, Experiencing Spiritual Unity and Meditation. Fantastic show. I invite everybody to come on tomorrow night. I'll be there. And then Sunday night, we're going to be with Mrs. Sadie Gomez and Ethiopian World Federation Incorporated, the worldwide Ethiopian World Federation Incorporated. And we'll see you next week.
Okay.
Come on, everybody, put your hands together. It's got to get better. All over the world, listen to these words. People come.
People come.
People go.